بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، يسعدني أن ألتقي بإخواني في هذه المدن في ترينداد توباغو، وكذلك من يسمع معنا من المساجد الأخرى في أمريكا وغيرها. نسأل الله عز وجل أن يجمعنا جميعا في جنات النعيم. إخواني في الله، إن الله عز وجل أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق يظهره على الدين كله. رسول الهدى صلى الله عليه وسلم ما انتقل إلى ربه إلا وقد أدى الذي عليه أكمل الأداء، بلغ البلاغ المبين، وأوضح سبل الخير، وحذر من سبل الشر. فنبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم ما ترك من طريق يؤدي للأمة إلى الهلاك إلا حذرها من هذا الطريق. ومن أعظم هذه الطرق التي حذر منها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الشرك بالله، وكذلك يأتي بعده البدع والمحدثات. ولخطورة البدع والمحدثات حذر منها رسولنا صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأبدى في ذلك وأعاد، كان في كل خطبة يحذر منها كما في خطبة الحاجة المشهورة، يقول: كل بدعة ضلالة، كل ضلالة في النار. كذلك دار الصحابة الكرام على هذا الدرب، حذروا من البدع ومن أهل البدع، وسار بعدهم التابعون لهم بإحسان إلى عصرنا هذا، وهم متفقون لا يختلفون بالتحذير من أهل البدع بأسمائهم وأعيانهم حتى يحذرهم الأمة. وهذا مصداق قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه لا تزال طائفة من أمته على الحق ظاهرين، لا يضرهم من خالفهم ولا من خذلهم حتى يأتي أمر الله. وأهل البدع لهم علامات يعرفون بها، ذكرها أهل العلم ودونوها في مؤلفاتهم، لذلك كان عنوان هذه الكلمة من علامات أهل البدع. وعلاماتهم لا يكفي الوقت بسردها كلها وتفصيلها، إنما سنأتي على بعض هذه العلامات وأبرزها، فيعرف السلفي السني صاحب المنهج المستقيم الذي يسير على درب السلف الصالح يعرف أهل البدع، فيحذرهم ويجعل هذه العلامات في ذهنه. إذا جاءه رجل وشك في أمره، أو جاءه رجل وأظهر الصلاح ولا يعرفه، نظر إلى هذه العلامات فعرفه بعد ذلك، فحذر منه وحذر منه وسلم الناس منه بتحذيرهم منه. نعم.
شيخ حفظه الله.
نعم نعم، ترجم الآن، جزاك الله خير.
شيخ Shaykh Abdullah started by saying, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Verily, all praise is due to Allah. We thank Him, we seek His assistance, and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evils of ourselves and the sins of our own actions. Wherever Allah guides, nobody will misguide. Wherever Allah misguides, nobody will guide. And I bear witness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy alone of worship without any partners in truth. And I bear that Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, is a slave and messenger thereafter. It makes me happy to meet our brothers in the East Town, in these locales in Tobago, Trinidad, and also whoever is listening with us in the United States of America and other than that. It pleased me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy to gather us, that we ask Him to gather us in the paradise of His heaven. Ikhwani, my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the messenger with the guidance and the deen of haqq, deen of truth, to prevail it upon all other religions. The Messenger of Allah did not leave this dunya. The Messenger of Allah did not leave this dunya except that He called us to the religion in the most perfect manner and showed us the best path of goodness, as well as He showed us the path that the worst, wal'iyadhu billah, or the path of evil. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not leave a single path except that will lead this ummah to destruction, except that He warned us about it. And from the worst to the greatest of these paths is to commit or associate partners of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, commit shirk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After that comes all kinds of innovations and newly innovated matters. Because of the danger of innovations and newly innovated matters, He warned us, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us about it and did it in the best possible way and perfected that warning for us. This is why in every single khutbah, in every single speech that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us, He used to warn the people as He did in His famous khutbah al-Hajj. And He would tell us, every innovation is a misguidance. And every misguidance is in the hellfire. And so is the case with His honorable companions, the Sahaba. They walked upon that path. They warned about all kind of innovations and the people of innovation. And after them came the Tabi'un. That followed them in the same path till our present time. All of them agreed upon the people of bid'ah and innovations. And all of them, they never disagreed regarding the names of the people of bid'ah or what they're about. And this is in itself believing in the message of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, that verily a group of my ummah, a group of my nation, will still be upon the truth prevalent. No harm will ever reach him from those who went against him. People of bid'ah have signs that can be known by. People of bid'ah have signs that have been mentioned by the people of knowledge and have written them in the books, in the books. This is why from the signs of people of bid'ah, so many that the time right now will never be enough to fulfill that. But rather, we will mention some of them or some of the most important of them. Based upon that, the Salafi, the man or the woman of the Sunnah, the man or the woman that upon the straight path, the man or the woman that is walking upon the path of the past predecessors will know them and will warn against them. And will keep it in his mind. So if a man came to him that he doesn't know and showed the signs of piety, but he does not know him, then he would look at these signs and he will use the signs and he will know by them whether he is a man of bid'ah or not. And by that, he will himself and other people by warning about him. Now.
التي يمتاز بها أهل البدع واتباعهم للهوى. فأهل البدع سموا أهل الأهواء لأنهم يقدمون هواهم على ما جاء عن الله أو عن رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم أو ما جاء من إجماع السلف الصالح أو ما جاء وأثر عن الصحابة والتابعين، فيقدم هواه على كل هذه الأشياء ويجعل الهوى هو طريقه والقائد له فيما يدين وفيما ينتحل. فتجده ما في مسألة من المسائل إلا وأستاذه وطريقه الذي يسير عليه هو هواه، إذا خالف الأمر هواه رده ولم يقبله. لذلك يقول الله عز وجل: أفرأيت من اتخذ إلهه هواه وأضله الله على علم. فهذا المبتدع كأنه جعل هواه إلها ومسيرا له ومحددا لعباداته وآرائه وأفكاره، فما إن يأتي في ذهنه شيء أو يملي عليه هواه شيء إلا واتبعه وقدم هواه على كل ما جاء من نصوص. وفي حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو يوضح كيف أن أصحاب البدع يجري الهوى في جسمهم وتشربه عقولهم، فقد قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن أهل الكتاب افترقوا في دينهم على 72 ملة، إن هذه الأمة ستفترق على 73 ملة، يعني الأهواء، كلها في النار إلا واحدة وهي الجماعة، وإنه سيخرج في أمة أقوام تجارى بهم تلك الأهواء كما يتجارى الكلب بصاحبه، لا يبقى منه عرق ولا مفصل إلا دخله. فلما شبه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الهوى عند صاحب الهوى وصاحب البدعة بداء الكلب وهو المكلوب أو المسعور، ذلك الداء الذي يصيب الكلاب الذي يجعلها تنهش كل شيء وتعض كل شيء من غير تفكير ولا عقل ولا فطرة، فهذا الداء لا يترك في الجسم عرق ولا مفصل إلا ويدخله حتى يهلك صاحبه. وكذلك صاحب البدعة يدخل الهوى في قلبه في جميع تفكيره وفي استدلالاته حتى يهلك، نعوذ بالله من ذلك. يجب على العبد أن يكون قائده بطريق الحق والكتاب والسنة، يجب عليه أن يتمسك بحبل الله وأن يعتصم بحبل الله وألا يجعل هواه هو قائده ولا المسير له فيما يتدين. نعم.
Sheikh Abdullah continued by saying, and from the most prominent of those signs that distinguish the people of bid'ah and how they follow their desires, that the people of bid'ah were named the people of desires because they always bring forward the desires above and beyond what came from Allah, His Messenger, the past predecessors, the companions, and the tabi'een. They always bring their desire ahead and beyond all of the matters of the religion of Allah. They make the desires their religion. They make the desires their leader in everything they do and everything they elect to do. They make the desires their master and the path that they walk upon. If anything goes against his desires, he would refute it and would not accept it. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about him in the Quran, didn't you see those who take the desires of religion and have been misguided upon knowledge, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. So he made his desires a path for him to walk upon. And he made his desires a limit for a boundary for all of his actions and worship. And he made his desires a guideline for his thoughts and his opinions. Nothing that comes to his mind, except that he would follow it and would bring it above and beyond what came from the text of the hadith, the text of the Quran and the Sunnah. The text of the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows us and clarify how the people of innovations, upon so much of their desires, or the desires run in their souls and their bodies, and their minds is soaked up with it, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily the people of the book have broken up in their religion upon 72 groups. And verily this ummah, the Muslims, will break down in 73 groups, referring to 73 groups, all of them will be in the hellfire except for one. And all of them here refers to the people of ahwa, the people of desires, or the people of innovations. Except for one group, all of them will be in the hellfire, because the desires is running through them, just like rabies destroys, just like rabies run through a dog, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And the Prophet ﷺ resembled the desires amongst the Muslims, he resembled it to the rabies in a dog. A dog, or a person suffering from rabies, just like a dog. Because if a person is affected with rabies because of a bite from a dog and the like, this disease will run through the body until it finishes off everything in that body. It will take over that person so much so, he'll end up without mind, without natural disposition, without fitra or instinct. This disease does not leave a single vein, not a single joint, until it destroys whoever got that disease, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. So is the case of the people of bid'ah, people of innovation. Al-hawa, desires, take over their minds, take over their bodies, even take over the way they move until they destroy. To sum us upon the slave of Allah, to make his leader, the book of Allah, and the truth and the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To sum us upon the slave to hold on to the robe of Allah, and hold on to the robe of Allah, and never makes his hawa or desires in anything that he takes as a religion. Now.
ومن العلامات البارزة أيضا لأهل البدع ملازمتهم للفرقة والسعي الحثيث لها. لذلك كان شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى يقول إن السنة ملازمة للاجتماع، وإن البدعة ملازمة للفرقة. الله سبحانه وتعالى حذر في كتابه من التفرق والاختلاف، فقال عز وجل: ولا تكونوا كالذين تفرقوا فاختلفوا من بعد ما جاءهم البينات وأولئك لهم عذاب عظيم. يقول عز وجل: إن الذين فرقوا دينهم وكانوا شيعا لست منهم في شيء، إنما أمرهم إلى الله ثم ينبئهم بما كانوا يفعلون. يقول ابن كثير رحمه الله تعالى في تفسير هذه الآية أن هذه الآية عامة، فتشمل التفرق في الشرك، كذلك تشمل التفرق في الأهواء والملل والنحل. يقول ابن تيمية رحمه الله: ولهذا وصف الفرقة الناجية بأنها أهل السنة والجماعة، وهم الجمهور الأكبر السواد الأعظم. وأما الفرق الباقية فإنهم أهل الشذوذ والتفرق والبدع والأهواء، ولا تبلغ الفرقة من هؤلاء قريبا من مبلغ الفرقة الناجية، فضلا عن أن تكون بقدرها، بل قد تكون الفرقة منها في غاية القلة. شعار هذه الفرق مفارقة الكتاب والسنة والإجماع. فالفرقة كما يوضحها شيخ الإسلام من شعار أهل البدع، ودرب يسيرون عليه دائما. لذلك تجد أهل السنة في كل عصر وفي كل مصر وبلد يحضون الناس والشباب على الاجتماع وعلى التمسك بالكتاب والسنة، ويحذرون من أهل البدع والفرقة. وما انطلقوا في تحذيرهم من أهل البدع إلا لردء الصدع الذي سيشق المنهج السلفي، وإلا حتى تجتمع كلمة أهل السنة. لأن أهل البدع لما كان شعارهم التفرق فإنهم لا يهدأ لهم بال حتى يوقعوا أهل السنة فيما وقعوا فيه هم، يفرقونهم فيقع بينهم التفريق، نسأل الله السلامة. يجب على السني السلفي أن يسعى إلى أسباب الاجتماع، وأن يدعو إلى الاجتماع، ويحث إخوانه على الاجتماع. وإذا رأوا أي سبب لحصول فرقة بينهم وخلاف فإنهم يسعون إلى إصلاحه، ويسعى المخطئ إلى ترك خطئه، ويسعى المصيب إلى نصح المخطئ بالحق وبالمعروف وبالرفق واللين، حتى يجتمع أهل السنة ويكونوا مثل الرجل الواحد. فإن المؤمنين كالجسد الواحد، إذا اشتكى منه عضو فداعى له سائر الجسد بالحمى والسهر. نعم.
And from the well-known signs of people of bid'ah also, that they go hand in hand with breaking up the ranks of the Muslims and work day and night to be upon that, wal'ayadu billah. This is why Ibn Taymiyyah, Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah, said, verily, a sunnah goes hand in hand with gathering the ranks, or unifying the ranks, and verily, al-bid'ah or innovations goes hand in hand with breaking up the ranks. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned in his book of breaking up the ranks and disagreeing with one another. And he said in the ayat what it means, and do not be like those who have broken up in groups and disagreed with one another after the clear proofs came to them, from the end of the ayah. And he also said subhanahu wa ta'ala, verily those who have broken up in the matters of the religion, but those who have given up on the matters of the religion and became Shia, became different groups, you, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have nothing to do with them. By verily the matters refer to Allah. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, said, in explanation of the above verses, this is a general ayah that includes breaking the ranks not just in the matters of shirk, but includes breaking up the ranks in matters of desires, religion, belief, and so on. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described al-firq al-najiyah, the safe sect, or the victorious sect, that they are the people of sunnah and jama'ah. They are the majority of the Muslims. They are the greatest in number. As to the remaining groups, they are the people of ambiguity, wal'iyadu billah. The people of breaking up, the people of dispersion and breaking up, the people of innovations and people of desires. And all of these groups combined will never reach the level of the victorious sect. But rather, they will be all much less in number than the victorious sect. They will be always carrying the flag of breaking away from the people of the Sunnah. Breaking away is the slogan of people of Bid'ah, people of innovations. And it's a path that they walk upon always and forever. This is why the people of Sunnah, in every time and every place, every country, encourage the youth, encourage the people to gather upon the religion of Allah and hold on to the book of Allah and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why they always warn about the people of innovations and the people of firqa, wal'iyadu billah. And they will never leave off warning about the people of bid'ah. And if they ever do, that is the meaning of, and if the people of sunnah ever leave off temporarily warning about the people of innovations, is only to push away the accusations that have been thrown against the manhaj al-salafi, against the methodology of the pious predecessors. Because the people of innovations that carry the slogan of breaking up the ranks will never be comfortable, will never be quiet, will never have some peace except after the breaking up the rank of the people of Sunnah. We ask Allah as-salam, as the Shaykh said, Habidahullah, Ameen. It's a must upon the Sunni, must upon the man of Sunnah, man of Salafiyya, to strive hard, to gather the ranks of the Muslims, and call upon that, and encourage his brothers and sisters. And if there is any reason, and rather take every single reason that will lead to rectifications of the affairs, and encourage those who make mistakes to leave off their mistakes, and advise those who are upon mistake in a gentle and nice way, until the ranks of the people of Sunnah are unified. As the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, verily the believers are like one body. If one limb is complaining of an ailment, the rest of the limbs will stay up late at night complaining of fever. Al-Iyadu Billah. Now.
ومن علامات أهل البدع كذلك رد السنة والطعن عليها ومحبة كتمانها. فتجد المبتدع لا يحب أن يتلى عليه حديث أو آية تخالف مذهبه. تجده أيضا يبتر النصوص فيأخذ ما له ويترك ما عليه. تجد المعطل للصفات مثلا يستدل بقوله ليس كمثله شيء ويترك قوله وهو السميع البصير. والمشبه يستدل بقوله وهو السميع البصير ويترك قوله ليس كمثله شيء. أما أهل السنة يستدلون بالآية كلها يقولون ليس كمثله شيء أي له صفات يثبتونها له سبحانه لكن لا يشبهونه بخلقه وهو السميع البصير. وهذا هو الإثبات, يثبتون الصفات التي دلت عليها الأدلة صحيحة من الكتاب والسنة ولا يشبهون الله تعالى بخلقه. لذلك يقول الإمام البربهاري رحمه الله في كتابه شرح السنة, هذا الكتاب العظيم الذي أوصي بقراءته قراءة شروحه, يقول رحمه الله إذا سمعت الرجل يطعن على الآثار أو يرد الآثار أو يريد غير الآثار أي آثار السلف من الصحابة والتابعين تهمه على الإسلام ولا تشك أنه صاحب هوى مبتدع. قال وإذا سمعت الرجل فيه بالأثر فلا يريده ويريد القرآن، فلا تشك أنه رجل قد احتوى على الزندقة فقم من عنده ودع. يقول شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى أيضا في كلمة نفيسة له، يقول: لا تجد قط مبتدعا إلا وهو يحب كتمان النصوص التي تخالفه ويبغضها ويبغض إظهارها وروايتها والتحدث بها، ويبغض من يفعل ذلك، كما قال بعض السلف: ما ابتدع أحد بدعة إلا نزعت حلاوة الحديث من قلبه. الإسناد أيضا يقول شيخ الإسلام: والإسناد من خصائص هذه الأمة. ثم نقل بعد ذلك عن عبد الرحمن بن مهدي رحمه الله أنه قال: أهل العلم يكتبون ما لهم وما عليهم، وأهل الأهواء لا يكتبون إلا ما لهم. هذه إذن علامة واضحة على أهل البدع، تأتيه بقال الله بقال الرسول يرده بهواه وعقله. فلو قال الله قال لك قال سيد قطب، إذا قلت له قال الرسول قال لك قال حسن البنا، وإذا قلت له قال فلان من الصحابة أو التابعين أو من سلف الأمة جاء لك برؤوس أهل الضلال احتج بهم، لأن دينهم كما قلنا مبني على التقليد وعلى الهوى وعلى اتباع أهل البدع وترك الكتاب والسنة. يجب على السني كذلك إذا جاءه الدليل الواضح الصحيح أنه يأخذه ولا يرده ويتدين به عند الله سبحانه وتعالى، لأننا أمرنا بالاتباع ونهينا عن الابتداع. نعم
شيخ، ممكن تعيد علينا لو سمحت آخر كلام البربهاري؟
كلمة البربهاري فقط؟
نعم لو سمحت.
البربهاري يقول رحمه الله في شرح السنة: إذا سمعت الرجل يطعن على الآثار أو يرد الآثار أو يريد غير الآثار فاتهمه على الإسلام ولا تشك أنه صاحب هوى مبتدع. قال أيضا: إذا سمعت الرجل تأتيه بالأثر فلا يريده ويريد القرآن فلا تشك أنه رجل قد احتوى على الزندقة فقم من عنده ودع. أي أن هذه العلامة قد تصل بالرجل إلى أن يرتكب الكفر حين يرد القرآن ولا يأخذ به، ويرد السنة ولا يأخذ بها ولا يعمل بها، إنما يعمل بهواه بحسب ما يشتهي.
شيخ كنتين حفظه الله: and from the signs of people of innovations refuting the sunnah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and accusing the religion of Allah and the sunnah of his prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and the love of hiding the sunnah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, you would find a man of innovation would not love to be told a hadith or a verse that go against his belief or methodology. You would find a man of bid'ah cutting and pasting in the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, take what he likes and leave what's against him and against his belief. For example, you find the people for al-mu'attila, those who are negating the attributes of Allah, taking the dalil from the ayah laysa kamithlihi shay', it's nothing like him, but then they will take away the other half of the ayah, wa huwa as-sami'ul basir, and he is the all hearing, all seeing. In the same token, you find the people, al-mushabbiha, those who resemble Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His creation, doing the completely the opposite. They would not take the part of the ayah, laysa kamithlihi shay', nothing's like Him. But they would say, rather, use wa huwa as-sami'u al-basir, He is the all-seeing, all-hearing. Or rather, they would do the opposite. They would not take it as a proof. People of Sunnah would take the proof as it is, in whole, the whole verse, without taking anything away from it. They would take it as it is. Nothing is like Him, meaning that He has attributes that does not resemble any of His creations. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ And He is the all-hearing, all-seeing. And that is from the attributes of Allah that the clear proofs from the Qur'an and Sunnah have indicated and nothing resembles Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala any of His attributes. As Al-Imam Al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, said in his magnificent book, Sharh al-Sunnah, or the explanation of the Sunnah, that as the Sheikh said, I advise everybody to read the book. He said, Al-Barbahari said, if you hear the man accusing any of the texts from the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or refuting any of the texts, or ones other than the text from the Quran and the Sunnah, or what came from the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, then accuse him in his Islam. Then have doubt regarding his Islam. And don't ever doubt that he is a man of innovations. And if you see a man, that you come to him with the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, and he does not want it, but he will only take verses of the Quran, so do not have any doubt that he has some hypocrisy in him, some heresy rather of him. So leave him. And leave him alone. As the Shaykh explained even further, he said, a man would refute what came from the Quran that doesn't suit his needs or his belief. Or he would refute what came from the Sunnah and does not take it like it is. I rather act upon his desires the way he sees fit for himself, wa al-'iyadu billah. Then he's a man of innovation. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said in a precious statement of his, you would never find a man of innovations except that he loves hiding the text of this religion and hates certain texts of the religion and hates whoever narrates certain texts of the religion and hates whoever does so. Not a single man that innovated any innovation except that the sweetness of hadith have been torn away from his heart. Chain of narration is from the attributes of this ummah. The narrated from Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi, rahimahullah, that the people of knowledge would write down what is for them and what's against them. But the people of desire will write what's only for them, and will never write what's against. These are the people of innovations. You come to him saying, Allah says, Muhammad says, and he would not take what you're saying. If you tell him Allah says, he will tell you Sayyid Qutb said. If you tell him the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he will tell you Hassan al-Banna said. If you tell him somebody from the companions or tabi'een said, then he will come to you or he'll refute you with some of the heads of people of misguidance and use this as a proof against you. Because the religion of people of innovations, their belief is built upon blind following. It's built upon their own desires and following the people of desires. The must upon a man of the sunnah, if he confronted with any proof that he must take upon it not refute any part of it, and take it as a religion that he owes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we were commanded of following, and we were forbidden of innovating. Now.
ومن العلامات البارزة أيضا لأهل البدع هذه العلامة يجب أن تضعها في ذهنك حتى تقيس عليها كل رجل يأتيك من علاماتهم غضبهم لأهل الأهواء ودفاعهم عنهم فإذا جاءك رجل يدعي أنه سني أو سلفي ثم في مجلس يدافع عن أهل البدع المعروفين بالبدع وأصحاب البدع الظاهرة فهذا يلحق به ولا كرامة ولا يحسب على المنهج السلفي إذا بين له أن هذا صاحب بدعة ومع هذا يصر على الدفاع عنه ويغضب عن أهل البدع لذلك قيل للإمام أبي بكر بن عياش رحمه الله يا أبا بكر من السني قال رحمه الله الذي إذا ذكرت الأهواء لم يغضب بشيء منها وإذا ذكر المذهب الفلاني لم يغضب وإذا ذكر المذهب الآخر لأهل البدع لم يغضب وإنما غضبه لله ولرسوله ولمنهج السلف الصالح هذا هو الذي يغضب إذا تكلم فيه أما أهل البدع إنه يجب التحذير منهم ومن دافع عنهم فهو منهم ويلحق بهم وهذا أمثلته كثيرة الواقع كثير من أهل الأهواء إذا ذكرت له سب الصحابة مثلا أو تقول له ما رأيك بمن يطعن في صحابة رسول الله ما رأيك بمن يقول إن خلافة عثمان ليست فيها روح الإسلام وإذا قلت له ما رأيك بمن يتهم معاوية وعمر بن العاص رضي الله عنهما يتهمهم بالنفاق والغش والخديعة والكذب قلت له ما رأيك بمن يدعو إلى وحدة الوجود أو يعطل الصفات أو يتهم موسى رضي الله عليه السلام وغيرها من الأهواء يقول لك هذا رجل ضال ثم إذا قلت إنه سيد قطب بدأ يتلمس المعاذير وبدأ يقول لا وبدأ يدافع عن سيد قطب فسقط عنده منزلة الصحابة ومنزلة الأنبياء منزلة العقيدة بمجرد محبتهم وغلوهم ودفاعهم عن سيد قطب وغيره من أهل الانحرافات والضلالات الخطيرة وهكذا هو دينهم لذلك جاء عن عقبة بن علقمة رحمه الله يقول كنت عند أرباط بن المنذر وهو من أئمة السلف قال له بعض الجالسين ما تقولون في الرجل يجالس أهل السنة ويخالفهم يجالس أهل السنة ويخالطهم فإذا ذكر أهل الأهواء قال دعونا من ذكرهم لا تذكروهم يعني لا يرغب في التحذير من أهل الأهواء والبدع. يقول أرطى هو منهم لا يلبس عليكم أمره. ثم أيده بعد ذلك الأوزاعي رحمه الله وقال صدق أرطاه. وهكذا كان السلف رحمهم الله تعالى من المتقدمين والمتأخرين يرون أن عدم الرضا بالتحذير من أهل البدع والغضب لأهل البدع إنه من علامات أهل الأهواء. لذلك سماحة الشيخ عبد العزيز بن باز رحمه الله لما سئل عن الذي يثني على أهل البدع ويأخذهم ويمدحهم قال هل يأخذ حكمهم؟ كانت إجابته نعم ما في شك من أثنى عليهم ومدحهم هو داع لهم، هذا من دعاتهم. على السني أن يتجرد لله وأن لا يرضى بتقديم شيء على قول الله وعلى رسوله. يجب أن يكون ولاؤه وبراؤه لله وفي الله ولأجل الله لا لهوى ولا لعصبية ولا لبدع. نعم.
الشيخ عبد الله continues by saying, and from the well-known signs of people of innovations, and this sign the Sheikh said, you must keep it in your mind and measure every man that you do not know with. The sign is their anger for the people of desires and the defense for the people of desires. The man comes to you claiming that he's a man of sunnah, but defending the people of innovations that are well known of their innovations. Then he is one of them. There's no honor for him. And he cannot be counted upon the Salafi methodology. Along with that, when he is mentioned to him about the Sunnah or about a man of Bid'ah, he insists upon defending that man and gets angry for that person of innovation. Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash, rahimahullah, said, radiallahu anhu, rather said, O Abu Bakr, who is the man? He was asked, rahimahullah, he was asked, who is the man of Sunnah? He said, that if you mention the desires, you would not get mad for any of them. And if you mention a certain madhab to him, or a madhab of a certain person, he would not get mad for that. But rather, he would get mad for Allah and His Messenger and the methodology of the past predecessors. This is the man that is mad for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the people of innovation, you must warn about them. And whoever defend them is attached to them. And there are many, many examples for this that is happening from the people of desires amongst us. If you may give him a proof from the statements of the companions, for example, and ask him, what do you think of those who are accusing the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who are accusing the rulership of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu? What's your opinion regarding those who are accusing Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, or Amr ibn al-As, or other than them from the companions, may Allah be pleased with them all, and saying they are from those who deceived this ummah, who cheated the Muslims, who lied upon the Muslims. He's talking about the companions here. What do you say about those who are calling to the unification of the religions, or those who are negating the attributes of Allah, for accusing Musa or Moses alayhi salam or other than him of the prophets. He would tell you, as a Muslim, whoever says any of the above must be a man of misguidance. Then you come back to him and said, what if I tell you that the person that mentioned all of the above will say it's Qutb? Once he finds out, then he starts making up excuses for Sayyid Qutb, or start defending Sayyid Qutb. And all of a sudden, all of the statements and the status of the companions and the prophets and the belief of the Sunnah have fallen and become secondary to the statement of Sayyid Qutb. Just for the simple fact that he's defending Sayyid Qutb, or his love for Sayyid Qutb, or any of the people of dangerous deviations upon the Sunnah, is a man of bid'ah. This is why Al-Uqba ibn Alqama came to Al-Irbat ibn al-Mundir, rahimahum Allah jami'an, and he was from the leaders of the Salaf, and found that some of those who are sitting with him asking him, what do you say about a man sits amongst the people of the Sunnah, that he goes against them? If the people of desires are mentioned amongst them, then he would say, leave those alone. Meaning he does not want to mention the people of innovations. Then in that fact, with that simple fact, he is from them. To let him deceive you, he's upon their affairs. Then when Al-Awza'i, after that, came after him, rahimahullah, and said the same thing. And he said, Al-Irbat was right. And this was the way of the past predecessors. Those who came before us, those who will come after us. Those from the early times, or those from the late ages. They always were upon that whoever is not pleased of warning about the people of innovations, or whoever gets mad for the people of innovations, is from the signs of people of desires, wal'ayadu billah. Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, when he was asked about a man that praised the people of bid'ah and talk nicely of them, would he take the same ruling as the people of bid'ah? He answered, whoever, there's no doubt, whoever prays the people of bid'ah is calling for them and is one of them. He is calling for them or calling to them. Wal'ayadu billah. So subhanahu upon the man of sunnah to purify himself from all of that and will never be pleased for bringing anything above or beyond the statement of Allah and the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Upon a man of sunnah to make his wala and bara, his allegiance and declaring innocence only for Allah and his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and only for the sake of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for any desires, not for any other allegiance or any other innovation, wal'ayyadu billah. Now,
ومن علاماتهم أيضا علاماتهم البارزة وخاصة الخوارج القدامى والمعاصرين تكفير مخالفيهم من غير دليل، فتجدهم يقعون في هوة التكفير، يكفرون الحكام المسلمين، ثم إذا كفروا الحاكم أجروا هذا الحكم على كل من يأمن لديه، ثم أجروا الحكم على الشعب كله، حتى أصبحت في نظرهم ديار الإسلام كلها ديار كفر. هذا مذهب الخوارج، إنهم يرون الديار التي تخالفهم أو كل دار تخالف مذهبهم هي دار كفر. وهذا المذهب يصرح به جمع من المخالفين المعاصرين من أمثال عبد الله عزام أحد رؤوس الإخوان المسلمين، كذلك سيد قطب، كما يسمي دول الإسلام بأنها دول جاهلية. فهذه هي مذاهب أهل الأهواء، ينغمسون في التكفير ويكفرون بالمعاصي ويكفرون بالمجاهرة بالمعصية، ويقولون كل من ارتكب الكفر فهو كافر، فلا يفرقون بين إطلاق الكفر على قول أو اعتقاد وبين تطبيقه على الشخص المعين. فإن المسلم لا يكفر إذا وقع منه الكفر حتى تنتفي عنه شروط وحتى تنتفي عنه موانع التكفير وتثبت فيه شروط التكفير من موانعه التأويل والجهل والإكراه والخطأ والنسيان وغير ذلك من الضوابط التي يذكرها أهل العلم. أما أهل البدع وخصوصا الخوارج والإرهابيين يكفرون الحكام المسلمين، يكفرون كل من حكم بغير ما أنزل الله، وهذا ليس بمذهب أهل السنة والجماعة. لذلك شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى يقول: أهل السنة يتبعون الحق من ربهم الذي جاء به الرسول، ولا يكفرون من خالفهم فيه، بل هم أعلم بالحق وأرحم بالخلق. مسائل التكفير إخواني في الله من المسائل العظيمة التي تنبني عليها أحكام كبيرة وذهاب لعصمة الدم والمال، يجب الرجوع فيها إلى أهل العلم المشهود لهم بصحة العقيدة وسلامة المنهج.
Sheikh Khalid al-Tufari, Hafidhahu Allah, continued by saying, and from the major signs of people of bid'ah, especially al-Khawarij, those who came in the old times and those who are present or our present time, is that they declare those who go against their way as disbelievers, as kuffar, without any proof whatsoever. You would find them fall into the deep hole of declaring somebody to be a disbeliever, with the hole of disbelief, wal-iyadu billah, and take liberty at declaring Muslim rulers to be non-Muslims. And after that, once they declare a ruler to be a non-Muslim, then anybody under that rule becomes a non-Muslim in their opinion, or becomes a kafir, or a disbeliever. Consequently, the whole nation, the whole Muslim country becomes a disbeliever, according to our opinion. They go as far as declaring all of the land of Islam be a land of kufr wal-iyadu billah. The methodology of the Khawarij, if anybody goes against the methodology of the Khawarij, becomes, in their opinion, a land of kufr. And this is indicated by many of them, like the likes of Abdullah Azzam from the Ikhwan al-Muslimin wal-Iyadu Billah, and so is the case with Sayyid Qutb, who calls the land of Islam land of ignorance. This is the methodology of people of desires, dear brothers and sisters. They fall into takfir and declaring people to be kuffar just for falling into sins, for openly committing sins. And they say, whoever has fallen into disbelief, he is a disbeliever. They don't distinguish between the mannerisms of people of disbelief and the way they do things, and they don't hesitate in applying this upon a specific person. The Muslim will never declare anybody to be a disbeliever, even if he has fallen into an action of disbelief, until all of the prohibitions of takfir falls off of him, and all of the conditions of takfir are fulfilled. And from the prohibitions, from that that prohibits a person from falling to takfir, is, for example, wrong understanding of the text, or being forced to fall into that disbelief, or plainly or simply falling into a mistake, or forgetting what he or she said. And other than that of the limitations and from the guidelines that are mentioned by the people of knowledge, people of bid'ah, people of innovations, and especially the khawarij and the extremists, take liberty in declaring a Muslim ruler to be a kafir, and take liberty that whoever ruled by other than what Allah has revealed is a kafir. This is not from the methodology people of the Sunnah and Jama'ah. Ibn Taymiyyah, Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah, said, the people of Sunnah follow the haqq, follow the truth that came from the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, that came from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they never declare anybody to be a disbeliever, even if you went against them. But rather, they're the most knowledgeable of the truth and the most merciful of the creation. Matter of takfir, dear brothers, are from the mighty and then very dangerous matters that many, many rules in the religion of Allah are built upon. Like the Shaykh continued by saying, Masal takfir, or matters of taking a Muslim out of the fold of Islam, dear brothers and sisters, is from the very dangerous matters. Is from very dangerous matters that will lead to many, many other rulings. And it will lead to taking away the honor of blood and the honor of wealth of a person. And it's a must upon us to return in it to the people of knowledge that are known to be upon correct aqidah, correct belief, and safe methodology. Now.
ومن العلامات أيضا المهمة وهي علامة ظاهرة ومعتبرة كثيرا لمصاحبة أهل الأهواء والنزول عليهم ومجالستهم، تجد المبتدع لا يأوي إلا على من هو مثله، والمبتدع لا يقع إلا على المبتدع، مؤمن لا يرتاح إلا مع المؤمن. فجاء في حديث ابن عمر وعائشة رضي الله عنهم حين عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال: الأرواح جود مجندة، ما تعارف منها ائتلف، ما تناكر منها اختلف. يقول ابن مسعود إنما يماشي الرجل يصاحب من يحبه ومن هو مثله. إذا رأيت الرجل يدعي السنة يدعي السلفية لكن خلطته مع أهل البدع أشيه وذهابه ومجيئه معهم ونزله عليهم هذه علامة واضحة له منهم فلا يخدعنه. يقول أبو الدرداء رضي الله عنه من فقه الرجل أنشاه ومدخله ومزله. يقول قتاده رحمه الله إنا والله ما رأينا الرجل صاحب من الناس لا مثله وشكله صاحب الصالحين من عباد الله. فعلكم تكونوا معهم أو مثلهم. أثار عن السلف في ذلك كثيرة منها قول محمد بن عبيد تكاتموا أهل الأهواء كل شيء يستطيع أن يلبس عليك ويتستر إلا التآلف والصحبة لا يستطيع يتآلف مع السني لابد أن تجد له صحبة رفقة من أهل الأهواء ومن أهل البدع. يجب على السني أن ينتبه من يجالس أهل الأهواء يحذر منه. يقول البربهاري رحمه الله رأيت الرجل جالسا مع رجل من أهل الأهواء فعرفه وحذره وأقم عليه الحجة وبين له انصح. إن جلس معه بعدما علم اتقه أي احذره أنه صاحب هوى. هذه علامة مهمة علامات أهل البدع والأهواء.
And from the most important signs of people of innovations, also, and is a sign that is very well apparent and very well taken into consideration, is the fact of who they take for a companion, who they sit with, who they visit, and so on. You find a man of innovation would not go to except to somebody who's just like him or her. An innovator does not come to accept an innovator like him. And a believer will not be comfortable except with another believer. As in the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, as well as the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, from the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, souls are enlisted soldiers. Whoever got to know one another will feel good with one another. And whoever strayed away from one another will disagree with one another. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, be a man would walk and take for a companion whoever he loves and whoever is like him. If you see a man claiming to be upon the Sunnah or Salafiyya, but he's mixing with the people of bid'ah in his walking, in his coming back and going forward, so he's one of them. It's a clear sign. So let him deceive you. Abu Darda, rahimahullah, said, from the complete understanding, from the fiqh of the man, is who he walks with, who he enters upon, and who he sits with. Qutadah radiallahu anhu said, wallahi, we never seen a man taken from the companion or taken a companion from the people except one like him and one upon his
ways. So go after Salihin. Take for a companion from amongst the pious, from the slaves of Allah. So you may become one of them, or just like them. And so many other statements from the pious predecessors that we talk about such affairs. As in the case of Muhammad bin Ubaid, rahimahullah. Sheikhna, قلت Muhammad bin Ubaid? كنا نسأل يا شيخ تكاتم أهل الأهواء في كل شيء يلبس عليك ويتستر إلا الصحبة هذا مقال محمد بن عبيد
نعم
جزاكم الله خير أترجم هذه وأستخدم ونكمل إن شاء الله سو محمد as the شيخ حفظه الله as I confirm with the شيخ محمد بن عبيد said رحمه الله that people with innovation will manage to hide everything from you except their companionship. He cannot take for the companion from amongst the people of the Sunnah, but rather he will take a companion from the people of desires. To sum up upon the Sunni, a man of Sunnah, that he or she must not sit with the people of desires, but rather warn about them. As Al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, said, if you see a man sitting with the people of innovations or people of desires, then identify him and warn about him and establish the proof upon him and clarify to him and advise him. If he insists upon sitting with the people of innovation after this, then stay away from him. Like he's some kind of a disease, wal'ayadu billah. This is a sign from them. These are from the signs of people of innovations and people of desires. Now.
العلامات كثيرة ونختم بهذه العلامة هي أيضا بارزة على أهل الأهواء هو كونهم يتلونون في دينهم ولا يثبتون على مذهب واحد تجد المبتدع في كل وقت وحسب ما تملي عليه المصالح يتجه إلى المذهب الفلاني إذا رأى المصلحة المذهب الآخر ذهب إليه ولا يستقر على رأي حتى يحقق مآربه ومصالحه لأن الأمر عنده ليس دين وليس اتباع وإنما هو أمر مصلحة وهوى وهذه العلامة ذكرها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في المنافقين وهي منطبقة لأهل الأهواء يقول رسولنا صلى الله عليه وسلم مثل المنافق في أمتي كمثل الشاة العائرة أي الغنم الضائعة بين غنمين تصير إلى هذه مرة إلى هذه مرة لا تدري أيها تتبع مثل الشاة الضائعة بين قطيعين مرة تصير مع هذا القطيع ومرة تذهب مع ذاك القطيع هكذا حال البدع تقلبون بين المذاهب بحسب مصالحهم لذلك يقول حذيفة رضي الله عنه أن الضلالة حق الضلالة أن تعرف ما كنت تنكر وأن تنكر ما كنت تعرف وإياك والتلون في الدين إن دين الله واحد وحذيفة يبين أن الضلالة حقا يعني تنقلب على المعروف بعد أن كنت تعرف أنه معروف وأنه حق، تنقلب عليه فتبدأ تزعم أنه منكر. وعلى العكس ما كنت تنكره وتعلم أنه منكر وباطل تبدأ تحتج له وتبين للناس أنه معروف وأنه حق. هذا هو التلون في دين الله. وهذه علامة أهل الأهواء وعلامة من يعرض ويترك كتاب الله وسنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومنهج السلف الصالح. ذلك يقول شيخ الإسلام كلمة عظيمة أما ذكر المتكلمين، قال: فلا يثبتون على دين واحد فتغلب عليهم الشكوك. وهذه عادة الله لمن أعرض عن الكتاب والسنة. الله أكبر، كلمة عظيمة. وهذه عادة الله من أعرض عن الكتاب والسنة تغتاله الشكوك ولا يثبت على دين واحد، ويبدأ يتقلب هنا وهناك. وبعد أن كان يثني على علماء السنة ويمدحهم، يجد بعد ذلك أنه يحذر ويتكلم عليهم لأنه رأى المصلحة عند غيرهم. دينهم هو اتباع الدنيا واتباع المصالح واتباع الحق والكتاب والسنة.
Shaykh Abdullah, and the signs are many. I will conclude with this major sign. It's also very prominent amongst the people of desires of people of innovations. The fact that they take many colors or keep changing in their religion or their beliefs, and they never firm upon one single methodology. You'll find a man of innovations, depending on what time it is, depending what his purpose or his objective is, will take to a certain methodology. If he sees that methodology will let him to gain whatever he wants out of this world, one day he's upon this methodology, another day he's upon another methodology. And he never settles upon one single opinion until he fulfills his objectives. So the matter, such a human being, is not a matter of religion. It's not a matter of following, but a matter of worldly affair and desires. This sign, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned it regarding the hypocrites, and it applies also to the people of desires. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the like of the hypocrite in my ummah is like a sheep that is lost between two different herds of sheep. One time she goes to the one herd, another time she goes to the other herd, not knowing what she wants. As the Sheikh said, just like a lost sheep between two different herds. One time she's with that herd, another time she's with the other herd. So it's the case of the people of innovations. They keep turning around between different methodologies to fulfill their worldly affairs. As Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu bil Yaman said, his guidance, that you know what you used to negate, and you negate what you used to know. And beware, beware of changing around in religion, because the religion of Allah is one. He shows us that the misguidance is true to those who keep turning around in the matters of the religion. For example, you would turn away from what is ma'ruf, what is good for you, from al-ma'ruf, or what is good from the religion, and go against it one day. And just not just that, but claim that is munkar, that is not correct or negated, wal-ayadu billah. And the opposite is true. Whatever that you used to know before, and you used to tell the people, and warn the people about, now you tell the people that is ma'ruf or is good to follow. This is talawun. This is taking different colors, different ways in the religion of Allah. This is a sign of people of desires. And whoever turns away from the book of Allah and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the methodology of the past predecessors. This is why Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah said, he said a very beautiful word when he mentioned about the so-called speakers, the storytellers, and the like. He said, wouldn't it be better for them to be firm upon one religion, but rather doubts takes them over? This is the habit, this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whoever turns away from the book of Allah and the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that doubts takes him over. And he's never firm upon one religion. And he keeps turning around in the religion of Allah, or regarding the religion of Allah, after he praises the scholars of the sunnah and thank him for whatever he learned from them, one day he gets up and warn against them. When he sees it's a better option for him to fulfill his worldly desires. So the religion became following the worldly affairs rather than following the religion of Allah. Now.
أخيرا أقول إخواني في الله أنه يجب على المؤمن أن يحاسب نفسه وأن يتقي الله عز وجل في دينه وأن يراجع إيمانه بربه يراجع تمسكه بسنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وليتحرر من جميع التعصبات والأهواء البدع والمحدثات وليكن شعاره الاتباع وترك الابتداع عليه أن يتمسك ويلزم غرز أهل العلم ويأخذ بأقوالهم يحذر من مخالفيهم يرجع إلى أقوال سماحة الشيخ عبد العزيز بن باز شيخ الألباني رحمه الله شيخ العثيمين رحمه الله شيخ أحمد النجمي رحمه الله الشيخ مقبل رحمه الله ومن الأحياء شيخنا ربيع بن هادي المدخلي شيخ صالح الفوزان وغيرهم من العلماء الكبار المعروفين بسلامة المنهج والاعتقاد معروفين بالدعوة إلى السنة والتمسك بالسنة يجب علينا الحذر من أهل الأهواء ترك كتبهم وعدم الاستماع لأشرطتهم عليكم بالعلم إن العلم باب النجاة في هذه الفتن هذه الأهواء إن أعظم أسباب الوقوع فيها هو الجهل أوصيكم خيرا ونفسي بتقوى الله سبحانه وتعالى أسأل الله عز وجل أن يثبتنا وإياكم على السنة يميتنا على التوحيد ويجعل آخر كلامنا لا إله إلا الله يثبتنا في القبر ونعوذ به سبحانه وتعالى من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن. جزاكم الله خيرا على حسن استماعكم ولي الشرف كله في إلقاء هذه الكلمة عندكم. بارك الله فيكم جميعا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام عليكم. جزاكم الله خير يا شيخ.
أهلا
الشيخ. بارك الله فيك. الشيخ حفظه الله said, in conclusion, I say to my brothers, it is the must upon the believer to always hold himself accountable and fear Allah regarding his religion. He always hold his belief and return with his belief to his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. He must hold on to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and declare his innocence from all allegiances and blind following and desires and any newly innovated matters. The slogan of the believer must be following and leaving off innovating. The must upon the believer to hold on to the Kitab of Allah and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the knowledge of the knowledge. The must upon the believer to warn about those who go against the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and always refer to the statements of our scholars. Those who have passed away, may Allah have mercy upon them. Like Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, Shaykh Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani, rahimahullah, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, Shaykh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah, Shaykh Mukbil ibn Hadi al-Wa'i, rahimahullah. The must upon the believer to follow those who are still alive from our shuyukh, the Shaykh, teacher of his teacher, Shaykh Rabi' ibn Hadi al-Madkhali, rahimahullah, Shaykh al-Fawzan, and other than them from the major scholars that are known to upon correct manhaj and belief, that known to be holding upon the sunnah, and known to be upon the sunnah. And beware, beware of the people of innovations. Stay away from their books. And do not listen to the tapes or audios. And it's upon you to seek knowledge. Because knowledge is a way of for salvation from the desires and fitan, trials and tribulations. Lack of knowledge may be from one of the reasons to fall into such affairs. And he made, Jazallah khair, some dua for all of us and for himself. He said, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us firm upon the sunnah, to keep us and you firm upon the sunnah. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us die upon tawheed. And make the last word that we say is La ilaha illallah. And we seek refuge with Allah from all trials and tribulations. What we know of and what we do not know of, what's apparent and what's hidden. And Jazakum Allah khair, may Allah reward you all for such being good listeners. And to me is all the honor, as the Sheikh said, Habibullah, to be able to be with you in such a telling or such a meeting. Anything that I've said as a translator that's correct is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And anything that I've said that is not correct is only from myself and or from the shaitan. JazakumAllah khair wa barakAllah feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.